and welcome to our show, Geeks Arrive Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Joey.
Hello.
And Anthony.
Hi.
And me, Bill, because I forgot to introduce myself first.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. And you can contact us by reaching out to us at geeksarewired@gmail.com. Send us a voice message or text of 801-896-4335 or 801-896-GEEK. And you also can help support us on our Patreon page at patreon.com/geeksarewired, where you also get access to chat with us on our Discord page, get access to the podcast early, and if people ever want to, listen, watch live. But also you can be great, because we have a great...
Like Dave?
Like Dave.
Dave sure is great.
Dave is great.
Mm-hmm. That was actually Joey's.
I know. No, this is mine.
No, oh, that's...
I want to try this out. All the adapters.
How does that sound?
Does that actually work?
It works just okay. The same.
Oh, I was wondering if it actually like made it quieter.
Basically, for you listeners, I went from, what is the big jack called?
Quarter inch.
A quarter inch. Quarter inch, really?
That's quarter.
All right. To the headphone jack.
Eighth inch.
Back to the quarter inch style, and then I plugged in the quarter inch headphone into the quarter inch jack in it. Seemed like a random thing to do. Anyways, this is episode number 354, titled The Three Amigos or whatever. I don't know, because there's only three of us.
I like that. You're all sticking right with it.
Three Amigos.
Oh, I clicked in the wrong spot. The Three Amigos.
Trace Amigos?
No, it's Three Amigos.
The Trace? Trace is how you say three in Spanish.
I know, but okay. The movie's called The Three Amigos.
Ah, fair enough. Okay, so are we done with all the introductory stuff?
Yes.
All right.
I really, really, really want to get into this, though.
Can I talk about the TV Showtime confetti?
All right. We'll talk about that first.
All right. So
TV Time. Remember, they changed their name, kind of.
The URL's been TV Time forever. I have to load it up because I don't remember how to do it. So we can talk about the other thing if you want.
Fine. We'll talk about the other thing. I want to talk about the other thing. Cedric Diggory is going from Harry Potter is going to be the next Batman.
He is Batman.
He will be.
Was he in anything else other than Harry Potter?
Yes.
What else was he in?
Twilight?
So he's going from being a vampire to being a Batman.
No, he went from being a wizard to being a vampire to being Batman.
Oh, yeah. That guy's
potentially
like
Batman.
Straight up.
Robert Pattinson, if you're wondering.
Yeah, I don't think most people know him as Cedric Diggory.
I know. That's why I was introduced to that. And if you're wondering who Cedric Diggory is, he is the first kid that Voldemort kills when he comes back.
At the Triwizard Tournament, right?
Correct.
When they have the cup?
Yes.
Because Harry was like, we should both win, instead of just Harry going on his own.
So he becomes dead, and then he becomes
spoilers.
The undead, and now he's becoming a Batman.
He's becoming the Dark Knight.
That's quite the twist.
He is Batman.
So he went from a popular kid to a really old undead dude to a superhero that's rich.
That means Harry Potter took a place a long time ago, like 1,000 years or something, right?
No, not necessarily, because...
It's modern times. Modernist.
In Twilight, and I'm going based off of information that I can't quite remember, but he got turned into a vampire in like the 1800s or 1700s, right?
Civil War.
Okay, so 1800s. So not too bad. So I can believe that. Went from Civil War era vampire to going to Hogwarts in the year around 2007, and then got killed, and then brought back as Batman. There's probably a fan theory about that somewhere. Bill.
I know.
Your noises.
They do make
your
noises.
Cellular noises.
So, Bill, you really like Batman. I mean, like, I know people who enjoy Batman, but you really like Batman.
No.
Maybe. Whoa, there's noises.
Yay, auto-playing videos.
And the listeners didn't even know.
No. No, he's not just... He doesn't like Batman. He is Batman.
Come on. We've never been seen in the same room.
So, he is Batman. So, Batman, do you believe that this other guy is going to be a good Batman?
So, thought about it. And there's been a history of Batman and a history of questionable actors in the Bat universe. What? Really?
The Batverse?
The Batverse. One of them is Heath Ledger. Usually the more popular one people reference. You know, the first night?
The first night?
Was it the first
night? The Black Knight?
No.
The Long Night?
No. Knight's Tale. That's the word. Oh. Those are the words.
Those are the words you were trying to say.
Yes. So he's in Knight's Tale. He was in all these, like, rom-com, teenage rom-com, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay, I thought you were saying, like, A Knight's Tale was the first, like, Dark Knight movie.
No!
And I was like, we watched very different films.
Yes, no. The first Batman film was the Batman movie. Batman, the movie. That's it. That is the title of it.
Just Batman?
Batman, the movie. No, that is the title. Batman, the movie. That is the full title of the movie. Batman, the movie.
Okay.
Excluding whatever... you know, shortish things they put into old 1940s theaters. Okay, so Heath Ledger, you know, Brokeback Mountain, A Knight's Tale, 10 Things I Hate About You. He kind of kept trying to grow his career, and he became quite the amazing Joker.
Yeah, he did great as the Joker.
Michael Keaton. Before he was Batman, he was Beetlejuice and Mr. Mom. Literally did Mr. Mom, then did Batman.
Very interesting.
I know.
So you're saying you're apprehensive for new Batman?
He is not a bad actor. Twilight is not the greatest movie ever. It's not the worst by any means either. But
you
it's
just
definitely not
a lot of people.
But it's
in your opinion.
It's not the best, it's not the worst.
In your opinion.
In my opinion.
Okay. There we go. Maybe we brought him
back.
In my
rankings, it's not the worst. It's not, you know, there is much, much worse. It's towards the bottom.
So, what's your favorite movie of all time?
It's terrible. That's it.
What is it?
No, the name of the movie. Terrible. It's terrible? Terrible. No, I don't know. I don't even know that's a movie. I should look it up. It's...
Because I was just wondering, like, compared to your...
Nope, there is no movie called It's Terrible. Okay. That would be funny.
Yeah. I was just wondering, compared to your least favorite movie and your most favorite movie, where do you think this would be?
Lower quarter of the movie spectrum.
So, you need an ad blocker.
Apparently.
I think that actually scared you this time.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just going to do that. There.
Okay. But so, you're excited?
I am.
Kind of. Or are you just excited for a new Batman movie?
Well, there's that, too. It's always excited for a new Batman movie. So, I think he'll do well, though.
Okay.
I mean, he has the look, plus he's better in the age for what I think he should be in comparison to Lex Luthor. Like, he is replacing Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of that universe.
So he's got, like, the young, like, good-looking millionaire-type looks? Is that what you're saying?
I think that Lex and Bruce Wayne are supposed to be the same age. They have the same general upbringing for their multi-billionaire-ness, their same general smartness, all this other stuff. When they made Bruce stupid old and Lex not so old... I shouldn't say stupid old. When they made Bruce really old and Lex not so old... I didn't agree with that. Like, I feel like they are on fairly equal par for what they've done with their business, what they've done with their lives.
Gotcha. So it kind of levels the playing field between the two characters.
Yeah. That's what I feel. Because if Lex was that old, he should have already had his, you know, kryptonite poisoning and probably made his Iron Man suit, maybe even be running for president. Yeah, he has quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
He makes an Iron Man suit take on Superman. Spoilers.
Oh, man.
It's run by Kryptonite.
That's a great thing to run that suit on if you're yeah. going after Superman.
I know.
You can't even get near you. Can't touch you. That's great.
So well, is him getting rid of it not canon anymore? Or is it just depends on what? Didn't Superman get rid of all the Kryptonite in one of the comics?
That's a problem about a planet that has exploded that is constantly sending stuff towards the outside throughout the universe. Can you truly ever get rid of it?
I don't know. And plus, I just thought there was some that were that was on Earth that they got rid of.
I feel like they did something in the movie.
I don't know.
In the comics, Batman has a little piece for the contingency plan just in case for all the Justice League. And Superman gave him back the piece of kryptonite going, just in case. He's like, just in case I go bad, use this. I trust you with it.
Doesn't that contingency plan get stolen?
Yes. But also that's the thing about Batman is not only does he know how the contingency plan works, he knows how to counter the contingency plan. So he actually saves everybody, too.
Gotcha. Another one of those millionaires that, well, billionaires that have, like, everything thought out and are very smart.
Do you think he's only a billionaire at this point?
I don't know. Bruce Wayne? I mean, he owns Wayne Industries, but I don't know. I don't think anyone has really been a trillionaire yet, have they?
In the comics?
Well, anywhere.
I think Bezos is the closest. And then he got divorced.
Halved yeah, his money.
That'll do that.
I saw a post today that says you're closer to being a millionaire than Bill Gates is. That one hurts a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't.
So Bill Gates is a billionaire. So he's very far away from being a millionaire.
I see. Okay. All right. Took a little bit. Okay. So the TV show Tom Kimpetti.
TV time.
TV time, fine. I'll call it TV time.
I know. The app used to be called TV Showtime. Now it's called TV Time Only.
Anyways, if you go onto a finished show, there, where it says the episodes to watch next, at the very end of it says finished with a checkered like race flag, and then it says that's all, folks. If you click it, it starts confetti. Like it throws down a little bit, but if you click it, it'll just keep spawning confetti.
So I was watching his screen when he clicked it, and like four pieces of confetti fell down, and I was like, "That is the most anticlimactic."
But the best
thing ever
is, if you just keep clicking it, it just starts throwing more and more confetti on, and it will start lagging.
So he crashed his iPhone.
No, I crashed the app on the iPhone.
Anything else in your phone. You had to manually restart. I thought you had to manually.
No, I just had to kill the app. That's all.
Oh, okay.
That's very exciting. I feel like for good shows, it's worthwhile. For other shows, you just barely tap. You get two confetti and you're good to go.
No, you got four.
Like, if you watch the, end of Dexter, you just tap it once and you're good.
How many pieces of confetti would you give the end of Game of Thrones?
I'm not sure because I haven't seen it yet. So, I know, right? I plan on watching it in the next week or so. And then I'll let you know how many taps I give it.
All right.
I've seen lots of spoilers online though, so I'm a little bit confused because I feel like
winter is coming. That's all you need to know.
Well, I feel like there is a campaign of let's spoil it for people. So just like there's no lockdown on spoilers like with Endgame. It's just everybody's talking about it. They're all posting about it. They're saying all sorts of weird things, and I think there's some people that are counteracting it, and so they're posting weird stuff that's like opposite endings or counter endings or how it could have gone better. And so I honestly have no idea how it's going to end or what's happening at this point. I know there's a few key players and that maybe something bad happens to one of them. There's a big twist that people for some reason didn't see coming, but yeah.
I wonder which twist that was.
There's always a twist.
The biggest twist.
The biggest twist, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty aware of that one.
Well, apparently my phone isn't on silent.
Oh.
It's okay. The notifications, unless it was a call, then it would have came through on my phone.
I'm sure why mine went off. It was my raid, Pokecoins. I don't know.
But yeah, I clicked on the thing a couple of times, By a couple, I probably mean like 1,000 to 2,000 times while they were talking. And it's a lot of confetti. I can read some of the words. I can tell there's words, let's say that. That's about it.
All right.
All right, now we're going to talk about this. Minecraft Earth.
A new location-based
I don't mean
it's an AR Minecon, game.
Because that's what Minecraft Earth, I think a lot of people were thinking it was Minecon. Because that's what they used to call Minecon, or at least something like it. But no, this is the, yeah, like Joey said, a new AR game.
Well, it's AR, but it's still a location-based game.
To a point. There are some adventures that you can go on. You have to, I think you have to go there at the physical location, but then you just go into it, and then you just play it on your game, on your phone.
Yeah, so you'll be able to build things. You should from the screenshots, it looks like there's some scaling that you can do so that you can build small structures or big structures.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you can build the small structure and then scale it up to be the big structure. I'm not really sure on that exactly, but it looked pretty neat from their different like videos and graphics that they put out so far. I signed up for an account on the day it came out. So
I signed up for it yesterday. I'm surprised you're not able to.
When their beta comes around, we'll see.
My Microsoft's not liking me.
Oh, yeah, that was the fun thing.
Oh, yeah, open it up in an incognito tab.
I forgot my password for my Microsoft account, so I had to recover it. So then I recovered it, I went back in, and I clicked on the link again to go back in and sign up. And then it was like, hey, you need a Microsoft or a Xbox Live account, I think is what it made me sign up for. So I was like, okay. So I signed up for that. It kicked me to like the Xbox dashboard. And then I had to go back, click on the link a third time, and I clicked through, and it redirected me somewhere else to like agree to terms of service or something. I clicked on it a fourth time and it finally let me sign up for the beta.
Nice. See, I don't need the password. I use the Microsoft.
The authenticator?
What the?
I signed up for the authenticator once I got all logged in and stuff. Might have been one of the redirects that I had to go through.
Maybe I should do that. Okay, so go back.
In the incognito or the other one?
In the incognito one.
Okay.
Now click sign up again. Okay, go back.
Oops,
no,
too
not
far
too
back.
Far. Now hit refresh.
Hard refresh or just refresh?
If you want. The hard refresh, sure.
Fun fact.
Now click it again.
We double as tech support.
All right, I don't know, dude.
I'm getting a weird sorry.
It's a 404 page. I like it.
It's a creeper.
Oh, the creeper blew it up. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly, yeah.
I just really hope that it like has some AR, like Google Daydream or some sort of VR headset integration, because I really want to see kids walking around in the park running into trees.
Like in Ready Player One?
Or...
Yeah, it'd be similar, just more QB.
No, because Ready Player One was a full AR. This would be more...
I know. But he's talking about that, like, at the very end of the movie, and there's mild spoilers here, not that bad. They had kids running outside with the masks on, battling. Oh. And like...
I see, yeah.
That was just comical and what broke the illusion for me the most.
I was thinking with the AR, them like ducking and dodging to invisibleness.
Yeah, no,
they're like,
that's...
tree, whoa, spider!
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, that's a thing.
The most earth-shattering thing with like VR is when you crash into something that's not in the virtual world. It's the worst feeling.
Because, mm-hmm. Like, I did not expect that there, and I just went full tilt into that.
They're going to have to make sure certain things, because when you see a creeper, your first instinct is to run away.
Turn around and run, yeah.
Hopefully, there's not a street behind you.
Exactly. Just run out into traffic.
I didn't think about that.
It'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the good thing about this is it's supposed to be AR, not VR, so you shouldn't be completely immersed. You should still see the real world.
Have you looked at people sitting or walking around on their phones?
I went to my first community day for Pokemon Go. Have you been to one of those yet?
Yeah, I've done a few of those.
So I went to campus, the college campus nearby, and it's got all sorts of Pokestops, gyms, all sorts of stuff on it. And school's out. Like, graduation happened 3 weeks ago. So the campus has been dead. And there were so many people there. And they were just walking around like zombies on their phones, just completely zoned out, just cruising around. It was the weirdest experience of my life.
It's like when it first came out.
Yeah, and it was it's like that. What was it for? Chikorita? No, it was for Eevee. Community Day.
Oh, that one, yes.
Whenever we were up in
Idaho Falls,
they also had a convention going on at the same time. But
oh yeah,
there was a lot of people.
It's like outdoor out events on going on, or
yeah, I don't know if they did that on purpose. I doubt they did, but
yeah, when Pokemon Go first came out, I was running on some trails, and there were two Pokestops at the heads of these trails near a parking lot, and I remember it was super bizarre. It was like 10 at night, getting kind of dark in the summer, and there were all these people just standing at the trailheads, illuminated by their phones, and then there were a whole bunch of running cars in the parking lot for this trailhead. None of the people were interested in the trail. They were all there for Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
It's just really bizarre, because you're just out there alone, and then you just see all these people on their phones.
Illuminating light. So I tried Edge. I was hoping that the Edge was going to support...
Edge is Chromium now.
No, only if you're in the beta.
I thought they released it to everyone finally.
Nope, still in the beta.
Oh.
Wait, is it full-on Chromium? I thought they were just going to use like the JS engine.
There, you
no,
can
it's
use
full-on Chrome.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So Chromium, sorry.
Get the add-ons, the Chrome add-ons and everything, too.
So now your options are like Chrome or...
Firefox.
Or Opera or Safari. They still exist.
Does Opera still exist?
Actually,
Opera
you can does, yeah. use...
Isn't Safari just like WebKit under the hood?
Well, it is, but that's still not Chrome.
Okay, so I guess it's WebKit, but Firefox is
also
everything,
WebKit. You're right, though. Everything is WebKit-based nowadays. So
WebKit or Chrome, those are your options.
No, I think Chrome is also somewhat WebKit, WebKit, isn't it?
So we're down to like no competition on browsers.
Basically.
And you can use like Brave, which uses Chromium, but doesn't share all your info. But I guess it's still using that Surf Web. I wanted to sign up. Apparently, it's broken. I don't get my free Earth Dude skin.
Not today, at least.
Maybe later.
I bet you could, like, download that skin.
Yeah, but then that's in the game. I don't know my AR. So
about this game, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, when does it come out? Or do you announce?
I don't remember when it comes out. I thought it was sometime in... Maybe this is when the beta is, but some June or July sounds familiar to me. But that might be when the open beta starts, or the closed beta. And the game itself is based off of Minecraft Bedrock Edition, which is the Windows 10 version of Minecraft. So, theoretically, all the stuff that you can do inside of there could be possible in Minecraft Earth. That doesn't mean they won't disable stuff, so like redstone and stuff like that might not work, but it'd be cool if it did, like designing IRL redstone stuff. That'd be kind of cool, in my opinion. Like,
I finally
I'd get all over that.
I have my chicken grinder in real life.
Put it right next to the KFC. Because you can see it.
Just build it over the KFC.
Oh, yeah, that'll work too. Like, I'm kind of curious how when you build stuff in real life, if it's visible to literally everyone or if it's only visible to people that you let it be visible to.
I'm assuming it'll be visible to everybody, because otherwise, like, you know, what's the immersion?
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, so you'd be playing in a big empty world if you were responsible for all the creations.
All of your creations or your friends. So your Saiyans can be full of, the world's suddenly full of giant tallywhackers.
I think that might be the case. And so they might have to, like, keep track of who places what blocks and...
General shapes.
Find a way to ban people who put down certain blocks in certain...
How phallic they get.
Exactly. Maybe a report mechanism. From their trailer, they have a... It's like a girl that's moving into a new house. And... her dad's like moving stuff out of the car and she goes on a skateboard and goes around the town and she's just kind of like holding her phone up and looking around and seeing all these different things that are already existing. And when she gets back to the house, the dad asks her how it is and she says, it's all right. And then he's like, well, that's pretty good. And so it seems like other people will build stuff and you'll be able to see it. So you'll be able to go to a park and see, you know, what everybody's built or see what people have built on top of a house. It showed her building like a tower on top of their home. So I feel like you should be able to see other people's creations.
I would hope so. I'm letting Bill sign in on my Mac. Because when I tried doing the sign up thing and it just asked me to log in and it just took me straight to the account page. So
we're trying it out.
We'll see.
No.
Oh no.
He doesn't like my stuff.
Hates Bill's account.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like your account or if they really did mess this up. But who knows? Nobody knows. I'd try again tomorrow.
All right.
It should be really fun.
Maybe as I'm posting the show notes and putting the links in, I kind of follow the everything down through. Like, But yeah. So this should be fun. I'm looking forward to this.
It could get weird, and I hope it does.
What do you mean by it could get weird?
I mean, you know, you go to a park, and then you're like, okay, everything here is lava except for this walkway. And like, you know, people
the
could
floor
build,
is lava.
People could build, like, AR puzzles and stuff. It could be interesting.
It could be.
I do like how some of these are like, watch out, Pokemon Go. There's going to be a new competitor. I'm like, there's so many competitors in the, you know, virtual world.
The thing with this one is, though, that it's has such a big fan base, just like Pokemon did.
Uh-huh.
It might actually have a chance.
But the thing that's different is about this versus Pokemon, which is probably better for Pokemon. Microsoft, to my knowledge, has not done any location-based games to try and prep up. Google did Ingress beforehand. Yes, Pokemon Go's launch could have been better, but for as big as it was,
it did pretty well.
It did amazing.
So the thing is, though, like Ingress and Pokemon, they're both owned by that Niantic, right? And so that company did Ingress to get like the ground boilerplate stuff. When they went with Pokemon Go and it went viral, they had tons of server issues. With Microsoft, they've built huge apps. They've built things that scale. You know, they own Bing. They own Bing Maps.
And there is they are one of the larger internet.
They're not using Bing Maps, though.
But the thing is they do oddly well enough with location services. Like, they've got that built out already. And then they own Azure. And so if they need to scale or if they need extra servers, it's turnkey for them.
True. Okay, also, I'll give them that. They probably have the servers.
Yeah.
Them and Amazon are the two companies that have the servers to pull something like this off.
I think with this, though, it's not exactly like Pokemon Go, obviously.
Well,
like,
yeah, that's... Yeah.
You're not... The thing with Pokemon Go is you got to catch them all because it's Pokemon.
Yeah.
The thing with this, like, there are some mobs that... Like, there's a rare, like, dirty pig that has a... Like, if you go back to... Yeah, that is a rare mob that you can capture. Or, like, at least... I don't know what they mean by capture. Like, if you literally, like...
It's probably the same as in the game when you're like, oh, here's a carrot. Follow me back home to this cage.
Or it might be that if you see it, you just click it and then you got it. But I think most of this is going to be... Like, there are some, like, adventure mode parts of this. But most of it's just going to be building. Like, I think it's going to be basically creative mode building.
I'm going to say it right now. I really hope this game is, like, $20 and no microtransactions.
It's not. It's free to play... With some microtransactions, they said they were trying to get away, like, not do pay to win.
But that's the thing.
They're really trying not to. Like, Pokemon Go is like that, too. There's a little bit of pay to win in it, but you still have to work to get the experience.
And even though you pay to get the incubators, you still have to walk those incubators.
You still have to walk them, yeah.
Yeah. That one's not too bad, I guess.
Yeah, like, there's a pay to win part, like, some aspect of it, and I think that's what they're going to be doing with Minecraft Earth.
Or pay to look cool. I think that's going to be the biggest thing.
It's mostly pay to look cool.
Pay for additional, you know,
you
different
can
features.
Buy the, because the in-game currency, I think, is going to be rubies or something like that. But
not the emeralds?
It might be a red version of the emerald. Because rubies did exist in the early part of the game.
It will be interesting to see how this... How do you collect this out of the blocks? How...
I really hope I get invited to the beta because I want to try it out.
I'm very sad I didn't sign up earlier now.
Well, I think they probably just have a configuration error.
Well, I mean, the beta is probably going to be a little bit...
It might just be random, honestly. And it depends on what area. Like, I'm pretty sure it's only going to be the United States who gets it, the beta.
Well, right now Harry Potter beta is open, just not in the U.S.
I know.
We
but
all
generally
can
they do the U.S., yeah.
You know what they're going to release it on first?
What?
The Microsoft phone.
No, they're not. They actually are not releasing it on the Microsoft phone at all.
I know.
Because they don't have any of the AR stuff built for it.
Because they don't exist anymore.
I mean, they still exist, and people still have them, but Yeah, there's no AR stuff, whereas Apple and Google both have AR capabilities built in. So they're just going to use them. You do have to have Android 7. You also have to have at least iOS 10 or later, which for most iOS people, that's not a problem because I think, what, they're on 12 now?
I think, what?
So that's like 3 years old.
Even Android, I don't think that's a problem.
With 7? It might be because some of the older phones, like unless you have a flagship phone, it may not have been updated for a long time.
Yeah, true.
Because manufacturers are bad at that.
Well, it depends.
But yeah, Minecraft.
Sometimes it's the developer. Sometimes it's your service provider.
Carrier. Sometimes it's both. There's just a lot going on there. But yeah, I'm curious about this one. I don't know. I didn't even look at it. I just saw it on the show notes. But
so I'm very interested in this. I think this is a great idea. I think Google needs to pick up some stuff.
So is this so that you can scan, like, the sticker puts off an NFC signal, and then you scan over it, and then it picks up that code, and then you just deposit money into whatever the NFC tag is, or what?
So, yeah, you take your phone.
Yeah.
When you scan the NFC sticker, whatever, like, with these, if they're working with Bird scooters, but this could be a sticker that could be in a park that, you know, you can donate money to the park. Mm-hmm. Without having to have a full-on electronic device there. You just have these little stickers, scan your phone over it, and Apple Pay will read this NFC and then shoot money. It gets the notification, okay, hey, shoot money off to this location.
Hmm.
So that way you can just have stickers on, you know, those NFC stickers are so cheap that they could be, you could hand it out on business cards if you're like a nonprofit or something. Like, hey, scan my card and send us money. Like, yeah. It could be real simple.
Which obviously does open it up to, hey, your phone's trying to send money. Do you approve this?
I'm sure that it's going to pop up and prompt you, right?
Well, for this, you have to get into, like, for me to even get into the stuff. So, like, double click on my home button.
Your home button?
Yeah. It might be.
It said try again.
Yeah, so it said try again because the fingerprint didn't recognize. So it won't even activate.
Nope.
Yeah, it won't even activate the payment part until I actually unlock it.
Google's the same way.
Now it says I can hold it near the reader.
Ah, nice.
So
the Google, even with the phone locked, you can hold it down.
Mm-hmm.
It'll recognize it, and then you just do the fingerprint, prove it. So that would be cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing, especially with parks that are trying to like, the idea of, I'm at this park, I'm enjoying this park, I want this park to continue to become a better park or grow or some of these. And while you're here, instead of like having these donation boxes, you're just like, oh, tap, or you're at some refuge or whatever, you're like, hey, this is cool, tap.
It could make other payments really simple too, like, I don't know, like even like a vending machine, it could just have something that you just, you know, tap like here and then you get a Coke.
Yeah.
And so that wallet in the cloud, when it gets a payment, it just kicks out a Coke.
Mm.
Instead of having to have those really expensive wireless readers, you can just have a NFC simple. Chip.
Exactly. So then your Coke machine is essentially like an API endpoint. You don't need buttons anymore. And so it would be cheaper to maintain the machines. I mean, you'll have less physical wear and tear. It just has to kick out the soda. All sorts of options. Kids could have a lemonade stand, you know? You scan here and it's 25 cents.
They can do that now, but...
Yeah, but I mean, it could be really straightforward for the kids.
Yeah.
Obviously, with this, where they're working with the Bird scooters, the scooter must recognize that... So it still needs internet connection, so it can start working.
So, tangent on this. What are you guys' opinion on the scooters?
I think they're kind of cool. They're electric scooters. They get placed all over in bigger cities, and I mean, you can rent them for a few hours for a couple of bucks. And so if you're walking somewhere, you know, you tap your phone and then you can get somewhere further away for cheaper than an Uber.
What about you, Bill? What do you think of them?
So I've actually seen them. I've got various ideas. Good for, you know, like it's quick moving around. I also see it more as a quirky thing. It's like, oh, this is
it, so
they've gotten big. On the other side, I don't think they should be allowed on sidewalks.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
And technically, in Idaho, they're not supposed to. That's part of the law, but nobody does anything about it.
Yeah, the stuff I don't like about them is, like, they don't come with helmets.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so, you know, people are getting on these electric scooters and just zipping all over the place, and that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like them because, well, like, in the bigger cities, like, Texas has them all over the place in Austin. And a lot of people like them, but a lot of people don't like them also because, again, yeah, they ride on the sidewalks a lot. People wreck them. They don't really pay attention when they're driving them, so they either run into people or they run into cars, or they just think they can just go across the street and not look.
They're also kind of like litter because people just drive them somewhere and just leave them wherever.
Yeah, the idea is you can leave them, and that's the idea, but you're supposed to like leave them like propped up against a building or something like that. But a lot of people just like they'll drop it and leave it in the middle of the sidewalk
or in front of a doorway
or in front of a doorway
or
yeah.
a gutter or something. Yeah, like we saw some when we went down to Arizona for a training for work, and they were just like outside our hotel, and I think they were parked in like the
I really thought about taking
the,
one
the pull through where people like park to like unload luggage. They were just parked under there, like not even like really out of the way. They were just there.
And that's where they dropped. That's where the company dropped them off at too, I think.
Yeah. No, the company is not supposed to drop them off like that.
Okay, you say not supposed
okay,
to.
Okay, but the only thing is the company will straight up fire the people who end up doing that type of stuff because they get giant charges against them. Yeah, against the city.
All I know is that they were all neatly organized, like stacked up against each other, just like.
It could have been a group of friends.
We also saw them loading, like, organized that well. They all have like internet and GPS so that the scooters can phone home and mm-hmm. someone can come and pick them up later and charge them overnight. And we went to a restaurant and we were there until after dark. And when we were coming out, there were a whole bunch of scooters that were just like up against a curb somewhere. And this guy pulled up in a van and was just like throwing them into the back of this van.
That's something else that also is happening is the lifespan is starting to be questioned on these because they're being bought at such a cheap rate. And they're making tons of money. The catch on it, though, is they are such a cheap thing. They're not lasting as long as they...
As I thought they would.
As they thought they would. And they technically need them to last.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of companies that are trying to work to make them a little more durable, but not so expensive still.
Yeah, some of them are kind of expensive. A quick search online shows, like, a lot of really cheap ones. These ones are I think I looked them up and they were, like, $3,000 or so per scooter. I mean, if you're running in a big city, you could make that back fairly quickly. But a lot of these are cheaper ones that are around $1,000 or so. So those are probably the ones that are breaking.
Well, even the $3,000 ones are still, they're probably not expecting that much use because you look at like the Honda scooters, they're new for $10,000.
Right.
But I admit that that's the upper end of those scooters, but still.
Yeah,
the BP. That's a lot better.
Yeah, that's like the Rolls Royce of these electric scooters. Just waiting for Tesla to make one and just blow everyone out of the water on it.
I don't think they want anything to do with it yet.
Probably not.
Until everyone figures out what they... They
already have
enough
bad PR.
Down.
Well, I'm just wondering if they sell them as private scooters. So you buy one, you know, it's like a fundraising thing for them. I'd buy one with a Tesla battery.
Yeah,
in
but
it.
As soon as one, like... If these other ones blow up or catch on fire, it's just like another day in the city. If a Tesla one, like a Tesla branded one, caught on fire, the news would be all over it.
Well, they could just brand it under like the Boring Company or SpaceX. There you go. No.
The Boring Company, the same people that sell you
flamethrowers. Not flamethrowers.
Yeah, they're not flamethrower. Yeah.
I love the Boring Company and how it sells flamethrowers. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Not the fuel, though. They tried. It wasn't...
Yeah, they can't ship that.
That's ridiculous.
They just gave people money to buy it.
Anyways, cool idea. Think it'll be cool.
I thought you might like this.
I sent that to you guys. You guys had zero reaction. I was very disappointed
in
you.
Rick and Morty's coming back in November.
Like, I would have figured you guys would be like, oh my god.
Dub-dub-dub!
But nope. I posted it, and then these two jokers, Ted and Joey...
Oh, I was like...
...were just like, they didn't do anything.
Maybe we're just slightly burned out on Rick and Morty after the whole Szechuan debacle.
That Szechuan sauce was actually, like, it wasn't as good as everybody was claiming it to be, but it wasn't bad. No, I got some.
I thought it was pretty good. I got it during the second wave, definitely not the first wave because that was just insanity.
And they gave me three of them. I had 10 nuggets and they got three.
Out.
I don't even think we had any locally, did we?
Yeah, we did. Second round.
No,
the first round
no. It, yeah.
Yeah, second round, we had plenty. I got it, I think, twice over a couple of weeks. It was pretty all right.
The first round, they really botched that.
It wasn't worth, rioting or, waiting outside a door or anything for, but it was all right.
It was the Szechuan sauce, man.
Plus, I mean, there's a YouTuber called Binging with Babish.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, ruining his name, but... He does a thing. He got a hold of some of the Szechuan sauce that McDonald's mailed out to people ahead of time to get the hype going. And he got a hold of some of that and he made the sauce and he's like, this tastes exactly the same. And so he has a recipe. So if you want it still, you can go find his channel and make it.
Not bad. But so the nice thing about this though is they're expecting a lot more consistency and this should turn probably at least another 4 seasons at least. I forgot how much.
Yeah, I think they were approved for that many seasons, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's episodes. I mean, how many episodes.
Rick and Morty at this point is Futurama 2.0. They're just printing money.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the audience, and, I mean, they can make plenty of stuff for people to buy.
So. Though, I think they basically reset 70
episodes.
To...
70?
70.
That's
quite a few.
Yeah, it is. But I think at this point, at the end of the season, they basically reset to... the start of season 2, didn't they? As far as not timeline.
Surprise!
For the listeners who didn't hear that, there was a video that just blasted through our ears and scared me. Anyways, they basically in the beginning of season 2, they had the dad there, right? And he was still a thing. And then at the end of season 3, he wasn't. And start of season 3, he wasn't. And then at the end of season 3, he's basically back. And a lot of people were upset about that. Just basically reset. Because they got rid of him.
They had a divorce.
They had a divorce, yes. And then he got back together with Beth?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people were upset about that because it just basically gets rid of everything that Rick worked for.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, but you also forget there's an entire universe that they originated on that they left.
Yeah, the, what do they call that?
I forgot its name as I'm like...
C-137?
Oh, there's that one too, but I mean what they did with the Earth there.
The type of
monster beams. That got created.
Oh, I don't remember.
It starts with a K or a C.
The thing is, though, they've had episodes where, Morty takes Summer aside and he's like, yeah, this morning, me and Rick were on this adventure, and we ruined Earth, and everybody we loved died, and so we just kept hopping through portals until we ended up here, where ourselves had died, and we took their spots, and we buried our own bodies in the backyard.
Cronenbergs.
And so, I mean, universe to universe, it doesn't matter, really. Like Rick says, nothing matters, Morty. So, I mean...
And then how many other Ricks did they kill?
Yeah, they've killed tons of Ricks.
Oh, man. The Citadel of Ricks.
Ricks, when they're like, you can purchase additional Mortys, and someone was handing out vouchers for a free Morty. That's kind of messed up.
And then, did they ever take care of the robot or cyborg Morty?
I don't think so. The Mayor Morty?
Oh, Evil Morty? No.
Actually, didn't he take over the Citadel of Ricks?
Yes,
he is the president.
Yeah.
He's the president.
And whenever he did that, he basically, the other Ricks were like, oh, you think we're going to listen to you? And he shot him.
Yeah.
So he means business. And I'm curious on how that'll work. I do wish, I hope that they do a lot more on that. I guess, could you call that an arc? We can call that an arc.
I think so. I think that divorce thing is one of the larger arcs that they've had. Because usually it's episode to episode, you come into an episode.
It's just episodic, yeah.
They warp somewhere, they go on some crazy adventure, at the end of the episode they're kind of back on Earth. And so really there's not too much that goes episode to episode. It's kind of more like South Park or Futurama, there's some overarching arch, or story some of the time, especially between Rick and Morty and Summer. But the other stuff doesn't necessarily persist or need to persist.
I also like how in that one part, I'm just not going to keep talking.
Go ahead.
About whenever you were talking, Joey, about whenever he was explaining to Summer about how he basically, the other two versions of them, the old two versions, died, and they kind of took their place, and she was completely unfazed by it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, but if she's exposed to it like the other summer was, like, you know, going on the adventures and stuff, just she'd totally day. Get it. Like,
yeah.
She might have done that with those two previously. So maybe, you know, the two that died there were the old Rick and Morty from her original universe.
There's a lot of fan theories in this show.
Well, even the Cronenbergs, remember, they replaced their version. Yeah. So technically, that's they true. Messed up their version of the universe and made them human and no longer mm-hmm. Cronenberg.
No, it wasn't that same universe.
Were the Cronenbergs, those were the ones that like took over Earth and then like...
No, they didn't take over Earth.
So what ended up happening was, and I remember this one a lot because it was a really good one, but Morty really wanted, what was her name? The girl that he really likes?
I don't remember her name.
Either way.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyways. Yeah. He really wanted her to like him, and so Rick made a love potion thing, and he specifically said, don't let anybody, like, sneeze or something. Otherwise, something bad will happen. The something bad happened, and they all turned into Cronenbergs, and they all wanted Morty. The only people who were immune to it were his family. Anybody who was direct, like, related to him at all were immune to it. So they didn't turn into Cronenbergs. And the other Rick and Morty that came there later, who were Cronenbergs, went there because their other Earth that they came from, they were all Cronenbergs before, and then the same thing happened, but the reverse happened where they all turned into humans. And they couldn't reverse it. So it was the same thing that happened, just instead of turning everybody from humans to Cronenbergs, they turned everybody from Cronenbergs to humans. So they just replaced the Rick and Morty there. Is it Amber? Jennifer?
I don't know. I'm terrible with names, like, even with main characters, so where you're asking for, like, a side character, it's not gonna happen.
I don't know if I'd consider her a side character. Because she's in, like, she's the topic of...
Well, we can...
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up right now, but we can...
Sorry. So, something else that from last week. I was talking about that the assistants should be better at being locally. All their resources should happen locally.
Oh, voice assistants.
Yeah, voice assistants. Sorry.
Okay, I was like, what assistants are we talking about here?
Morty should be a local assistant.
Local sourcing of goods for yes, assistants at work?
It's Jessica.
Girl's name's Jessica. All right.
Did I say Jessica? I think I said Jessica earlier.
You said Jennifer.
Dang it.
Dang it.
It was close. All right, sorry.
So.
Voice assistants. And Apple seems to have applied for a patent for an offline personal assistant.
Yes.
That's exciting.
A couple years ago.
Are they going to use the patent, or is it just a thing of the past that they're not going to reopen?
They have tons of secret projects.
I'm just thinking about it, and like Google, you know, I think they'd be all game for an offline assistant, because I mean they're paying so much money for processing power and stuff.
So Apple, look at that. Their phone is doing it. They've actually tried to bring everything to their local chip as it was.
Yeah, I mean it can do. I mean, I don't know though. Like, I think basic processing would probably be the best thing for them to shoot for, and still have it offload the complex stuff to the cloud. Because I mean. Human speech is very complex, and then you have, like,
different languages, dialects, accents,
lisps. All sorts of problems.
Okay, that goes back into this one. Like, we did have it slightly. So Google has actually been working on having a truly usable assistant that would recognize speech differences and actually help out people that would have different type of speech.
Is this so we're pretty much at the point where we could have a universal translator like Star Trek has. Like, you can talk in whatever language and dialect and weirdness you want.
Close.
And it could either just spit out the translated thing in another language or, you know, send it to someone else with their headset on.
It's probably, like, the thing with the universal translator is it talks... Like, you talk, and as you're talking, it translates your waveforms. And even using your same voice puts it into their language instead. So, and it can also do it just based off a few, like, I think you only need a couple of words, unless it's a really complicated language, then you need like 100 to 200. But then after that, it's usually like pretty good, whereas this, it's working off the old database, but I get what you're saying. It's base. It, we're close, or it's kind of the same idea at least. Could be. I might be a Star Trek nerd.
I am excited for offline assistance, though, because sometimes I'll be talking to my Google and it'll like just churn on it, right? Because the cloud's busy or something, and then my lights come on like 20, 30 seconds later. And so if it's local, that means everything should be able to happen within my home, and it should be faster than round-tripping on my horrible internet.
Speaking of spoilers.
Aww. Can't even surf the internet without spoilers.
Nope.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, there's all sorts of stuff everywhere.
There's a scene from the last episode of Game of Thrones, just like as a thumbnail to a random article. That's why I said that.
So, like speech impediments or anybody that's had been accents, it adds up reading their voice and recognizing actually what they're saying. That's what Google is working on.
Having it personalized. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pretty impressed with the Google Voice Assistant lately. It has some way of like doing pitches and stuff, and so it can sound really natural depending on how much work they've put into a certain feature. If you ask it to sing Happy Birthday, it does a very good job in like a sing-song voice, and like it's impressive. So, I mean, if they nail that down for like personal assistant making
it sound
more fluid.
Does it say your name too?
I don't think so. I think it's
at that point, I wonder if it's just a recording.
I don't think it is. It's very perfect. Like, it sounds exactly like the AI voice. And
no, I mean, like, I wonder if they tuned the AI voice. Like, I think it's just playing a recording instead of...
I don't know, because there's other, like, there's pretty simple games. There's one called Moonbase Alpha. It has a chat system where you type, and then AI will read your thing. So it's kind of like a Microsoft Sam type voice. But they've got a system built in there that you can control pitch. And so people can like type in these crazy things, and it sounds like, you know, it's all sing-songy and stuff, and it's pretty good. And that's like a cheap game on Steam, and that's like a tacked-on feature for fun. And so, I mean, if there's a multi-billion dollar company like Google behind it, I think that they can handle the actual voice. And most of the time it sounds pretty good. You can just barely tell it's a robot. And so I think if they tune it a little bit more, it could be a little bit eerie.
That'd be fun. That'd be, yeah. Well, maybe not eerie, but because if it sounds more realistic, it's less you're willing to.
Well, yeah. Like, if you know, it's my robot assistant, and it has a slightly robot-y voice. I think that's a good thing most of the time. If it's like a human voice, like, that could be cool, and I guess eventually it could become comforting. You know, you get home, and then your assistant is talking to you, and it's unlike other people's assistants.
Okay, I have a website for you to go to.
I first want to talk about this because it relates. Or does yours relate?
It also relates.
I'll go to yours. Did you put it in the show notes?
No.
You put it in the show notes. With that, go to mine.
Okay.
So the new season of Black Mirror has been announced.
Has it?
Yes.
When does it come out?
June 5th, I think.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's like really soon. It's only 3 episodes. And...
Only 3?
Only 3. I know, it's kind of weird for Netflix.
Are they long episodes?
They did that with that anime that I was watching, too.
Are they...
There's only 2.
Are they long episodes, or are they testing out, like...
It's not like Bandersnatch. These are full individual episodes.
Are they going to do, like, another release of a few more episodes halfway through the year or
something?
I don't
know. Because ever since they took it over, it's been 6 episodes per season.
Yeah, right. It's kind of weird
but
for...
But the original ones were 3 when BBC had it.
Maybe these are really high-quality episodes that ate the budget of 6 episodes.
Possible.
They look awesome, but that's one of the things. So they have one of these little assistants, this little android thing that sits on your desk that talks to you. And
that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
But see, that's the next step. AR, you get a little tiny robot assistant that just hangs out on different surfaces near you.
Yes.
Okay, click that power button.
I'm afraid to click the power button.
No, it's fine.
I downloaded an emulator.
Okay, I want to see the keyboard now.
Okay, it's right there. Ta-da!
I want to type on the keyboard.
It looks pretty. Deckcock version 2.0 so you know the listeners can't hear this.
So there's this thing, like there's this, you could also adjust the pitches on it too.
And yeah. and this, what's loaded up right now is called DeckTalk DTC01. It loaded up in MAME. It's a like arcade machine emulator. And so this ability has been around for a very long time. It kind of sounds like Stephen Hawking's.
That's what Stephen Hawking's voice is based off
robot
of.
Robot voice, yeah.
Hi, Bill.
Oh, man, I typed it wrong.
I just said hi, Bill. And it's just sounded like Stephen Hawking. You're supposed to.
Hi.
Now it sounds like a.
Hi.
Deep Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Hi, Bill.
This is his bedroom voice.
Let's see.
Hello there, Bill.
Hello there, Bill.
Bill, Bill, Bill.
Oh, I didn't do the last one.
I did. Bill, Bill, Bill.
No, there was.
That was three bills.
That was three bills. Make me all talking in a very deep voice.
Okay, that's it.
That's pretty wonderful.
Not that
I
people
like that
can
a
hear
lot.
This, but let's just.
You should clip some of that in for the viewers.
Bill, 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 Bill.
It's basically what it sounded like, but more
robotic.
More
Man,
robotic.
This is what I want for my Google Assistant.
Joey,
probably make a
Joey,
skill for it.
Joey.
I wonder if it'll actually run on my phone. If it can, I'll just play it into the mic. But
well, I think we've been going a while. So if you can get up and running quickly,
I think,
or maybe you can be that'll be your famous last words. Besides that, let's go with famous last words. You have any?
I really
should like prepare these more.
Yeah, like I'm gonna have to come prepared next week.
I used to come with a list, and then I remembered, and then I forgot list.
My famous last words are: I'm gonna watch the last season of Game of Thrones this week.
You should just pause it for a second.
So dead people are buried in fancy clothing. If the zombie apocalypse ever happened, it's going to be quite a fancy party.
It might be, but they'll all be dead still. I don't know. My famous last words are, I have words to say, and that is all. Thank you. Goodbye, everyone. Have a good day.